Welcome to Northside Baptist Church, Elkhart, Indiana. And tonight I got a message and I named it a turning point. And if you look up the definition of a turning point, it means a critical or significant event that causes a major, often irreversible change in a person's direction in life. And I thought I'd start tonight with my own personal turning point in life, my testimony, how I came to Christ. And you know, I always enjoy hearing testimonies from people. It encourages me, all different walks of life, how we come to Christ as a Christian. We all have a unique story about that. And I'm going to share my unique story tonight. And I grew up in a Christian home, and my mom would take us to church, my brother and I, every Sunday morning, and I hated going to church. I really did. And every Sunday morning, I'd try making excuses why I couldn't make it. Sometimes I think I'm sick, Mom, I'm sick, and all this. I even had a trick that my mom gave me, a thermometer. And, well, we're going to see if you have a temperature. And I'd go in the bedroom, and I'd take that thermometer and hold it up by a light bulb. And I'd kind of keep checking. And I'd end up with a temperature like 107 degrees. And she, I think, caught on that I was doing something weird there. So she never bought into them lies and stuff. And my mom would teach a Sunday school class for the 4 and 5 year old little kids. And this church was big enough. It was 2 stories. And my Sunday school class was on the 2nd floor. And I was probably about 8 or 9 years old at the time. And I hated my Sunday school class. And the reason I hated my Sunday school class is that the teacher would make us each read out loud. We'd all get in a big semicircle. And each kid had got a great big Bible to read. And I hated that because when I was that age, I had to go to special reading classes, special speech classes, special spelling classes. I tended to stutter. I couldn't pronounce words. That's why I had to go to special speech classes. And when that teacher would make me get up in front of the whole class and try to read an old King James Version Bible, here's a kid that stutters. Here's a kid that doesn't read well. And I felt about this big. And it embarrassed me. I felt horrible. And what I learned to do is I'd go up to the 2nd floor before Sunday school, a lot of kids running around, and I'd go to the restroom up there. It was just a single restroom. And I'd go in there, lock the door if the Sunday school teacher didn't see me. And I'd hide in that restroom during Sunday school class. And when Sunday school class was over, I'd hear kids running in the halls. I'd just unlock the door, go downstairs, and everything was fine. Yeah. Till years later, I was preaching somewhere. I told this story, and my mom was there. And she couldn't believe that I did a thing like that, but that's just life. And then my mom and dad both went to church, but my dad didn't go near as much because he was a police officer. He had weird hours, so most Sundays he wasn't there. But then my mom says, "You're going to become a member of this church." And I said, "No, I'm not." I rebelled. I was about 12 or 13. And she says, "You're going to be a member of the church." And my dad would pick me up sometimes from school or wherever, drive me in a squad car right to the front door of that church for membership classes, and I went in. He made sure I went in, and I went to membership class. And the preacher would tell us what we needed to do, write all this down. Well, what I did with my piece of paper and stuff is I just drew pictures and doodled the whole time. And when it came to graduating membership class, I was the only one that flunked. I flunked membership class. I flunked church, okay? So when I got older, my mom didn't make me go to church anymore. And so that was the end of that. And then after I got out of high school, I started working in a place called CTS in Elkhart here. And at that time, there was probably about 2,000 people working there. And now they closed the doors, which is sad. But I started working there right out of high school, and I wanted to get into the tool room. So I had to work my way into the tool room, so I worked in the factory for over a year. And then I finally got on an apprenticeship, and I bought me a 68 Volkswagen bus. And it was like 6 or 7 years old when I got it. It wasn't brand new, and it had tinted jalousy windows in it, which was cool, man, when you're back those 18-year-old kid. And I, back then, everybody had shag carpet in their van. So I bought the real deep green shag carpet. I glued it on the ceiling, on the walls, on the floor. I put an 8-track player in that baby. I was cool. I actually had hair. I had wavy hair. Then eventually it waved away. And I had sideburns, all that stuff. But it all kind of went away. But I remember taking that camper to Warren Dunes. I'm about 18, 19 at the time. Went by myself and took my bird dog Duke with me up there to Warren Dunes. And I took a Bible with me. And I was wondering what the Bible's all about. I wondered what I was here for. I was seeking the Lord without really knowing it at the time, but I was seeking God. I went to church all them years, and I knew this was God's word. Even though I rebelled and all that, I believed in God, and I knew this was God's word, and I was searching it on my own to see what life's all about. But at that time, I started reading from the beginning, and I got into all these big words and stuff, and in Exodus, all that. I stopped. And at CTS, I became friends with a guy named Dick. Dick Taylor's his name. And we do stuff together and good friends. And he said, you know, I took the neighbor girl out on a date. And my buddy Dick's not a big talker. He says, I took the neighbor girl on a date. And she isn't a talker at all, and I'm not a talker. I picked her up, go to a movie. We went to the movie. We didn't hardly say one word. Then I brought her home from the movie. We hardly said one word, said goodbye, and that's it. And he says, you know, you might do better with this gal because you're a talker. And so my buddy Dick, his mom, and the neighbor girl's mom set us up on a blind date. So we went on a blind date, and that girl's name was Nancy. And we went to the movie American Graffiti. That was our first date, blind date. And I did all the talking. I didn't know whether she liked me or not. So I asked her out again and kept asking her out, and she kept coming. She kept going on a date, so I figured, well, she must kind of like me. I don't know. She doesn't say nothing. But so about a year and a half later, we got engaged to get married. And at that time, you know, where you get married? You get married in a church. And we weren't going to church. So we started going to church. And so we got married. Then we stopped going to church. Didn't have to go to church no more. We got married. So after that, a guy at work that was a Christian man, he says, Gary, are you born again? And I said, I don't know. I never heard being born again. And he says, are you saved? And I said, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Because the church I went to never talked about this type of stuff. Talked about knowing the ark, Jonah and the whale. That's about all I know. And I never heard these words before. And then he says, are you a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus? And I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. So he left me alone. He didn't say anything. But I'll tell you that by him just saying that, he planted seeds that he didn't even realize he planted at that time. So I was wondering what this born-again stuff meant. I was wondering what this being saved stuff is, because I never heard about it. So I started watching some of these TV preachers. And I'll tell you, some of them preach the word and some of them don't. But I started studying the Bible on my own, getting into the Word of God, and I found out about being born again. I found out about being saved. And in September of 1979, at the age of 25, I went out to this two-story barn I had built at the house, and we had chickens in it. And I remember I went out at night with the starlit night. It was in September, I think. And I asked Jesus Christ in my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. And he changed me. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How much? All things are become new in Christ. The kid that flunked church started hunting for a church. And I had a hunger for the word that I never had before. And I asked this one guy at work that was a Christian man, I said, I need to find a church that preaches the Bible, and I don't know where to go. And he said, well, there's a little Baptist church down the road from you in a house. It just started. And he says, this church here preaches the word from what I gather. So I went to this church and started growing in the Lord. And Nancy went with me, and I asked her, well, what do you think of this church? I went to this church first time, and in this church, there were real men in the church. In a lot of churches that I've been in, it's a bunch of old people handing out bulletins, and the preacher has a Bible, and he really doesn't preach the true word of God. It's just a bunch of fluff. Well, in this church, were real men in the church. The first guy about shakes my hand, breaks my hand when I'm shaking it. And everybody has Bibles in the church. I wasn't used to people having Bibles. And so I thought, this is a pretty neat church. And at the end of the message, the pastor, he gives an altar call. I had never seen an altar call in my whole life. And I thought that was pretty neat. This guy wanted people to get right with Jesus Christ. And I get home, I asked Nancy, I said, what do you think of this church? And she says, well, all that preacher wanted to do is people to come forward. So she really didn't know what it was all about. And a year later, Nancy got saved. And so we both got baptized together, and it's hard to believe we got baptized right here at this church, because our church was just a planted church, and it didn't have a baptismal tank. So we got baptized here, and we ended up being members of the church. And after that, the one guy at church says, do you want to teach Sunday school? And I said, well, I don't know anything about Sunday school and what to teach. And they said, well, we got all these books for you. We'll show you how to teach. And so I said, okay, I'll try it. So I started teaching the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade kids in Sunday school class. And you know, I knew them kids needed to hear the word of God, because I grew up in a bunch of fluff and not hearing the true word of God. So I studied like crazy so I could teach these kids. I started memorizing scripture. And I didn't want these kids to be taught the wrong thing, so I studied hard. And that was a blessing. And then later on, the youth pastor asked if Nancy and I would help with the youth, because they needed help. And I said, sure, we'll try it. So we started working with the youth, and the youth pastor had to leave because his father was dying of cancer, and that left Nancy and I over the youth group. So I just started teaching the youth, and they must have liked it because I taught the youth for 16 years at that church. And I thought I was just there to help. But the Lord opens doors. And sometimes we got to recognize them doors that the Lord opens, because we may miss out on some blessings if we don't yield to the Lord. And during that time, there's a friend of mine named Scott Teeter, that him and his wife Susan was helping us with the youth. And he approached me. He says, "Gary, I'm going to the jail and I've been singing, and I'd like you to go there and preach." And I'm thinking, "You want me to preach at the jail?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, I'll try it." So Lord opened the door there and went to the jail for the very first time. And the head chaplain there was John Meyer, and he's like 6'8", 375 pounds, just a mountain of a man. I shook his hand, and I felt like a little boy. He had a bear paws hands. And I asked him, How long can I preach? And he says, "As long as you want. Nobody's leaving." So I preached a message there for the very first time. And I gave an altar call. And 8 men come forward to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And I was hooked. And I never left that jail but on cloud 9. I've seen tons of men and women come to Christ over them years. What a blessing. And I would have missed out on that blessing if I would have said, "Well, I don't know. I never done that. I don't want to do it." So you got to remember, if the Lord opens doors, don't say no to God, because you may miss out on blessings. And through preaching 30 years at the jail, people at work were asking me when I first started going, they said, "What'd you preach on?" Well, I started taping messages on cassettes, and I'd give them to people at work, and they were passing them around. They all enjoyed them. So I just started making more and more, and then CDs came around. So I switched to CDs, and we gave out over about 39,000 CDs of just messages I preached. And then nobody wants a CD, so a friend of mine got this podcast going for me, and it's been reaching tons of people. I think we're almost up to 70,000 people that came onto the podcast. And since I retired after 44 years at CTS, the Lord opened other doors. He provided a motor home, and we've put 77,000 miles on that thing, giving out the Word of God from coast to coast. Nancy does all the driving. I get on the phone figuring where we're going to stay and this and that, and witness to people, give out our podcast cards wherever we go. And things just keep exploding. And that is my turning point that I'm sharing tonight. That's what the Lord did in my life. And I'll tell you right now, when I came to Christ at the age of 25, I'm 71 now, the fire has never burned out. I still care. The Holy Spirit just prods me to tell people about Jesus Christ. It's my passion. It's my desire. And I'm as far as I know, to my dying breath, I'm going to tell people about Jesus Christ. And I hope you're the same way, with that same compassion to reach others for Christ. And I asked some people, "Are you a Christian?" And here's some of the answers I get from them. "Oh yeah, I've always been a Christian." When I hear that, big red flag. You haven't always been a Christian. You have to have that turning point in your life to be a true Christian. You can't just, "I grew up in the church." That doesn't cut it. It has to be a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Another one, it says, "Oh, I go to church. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church." Well, because you swim in a lake doesn't make you a fish. Because you walked into your garage doesn't make you a car. And because you go to church does not make you a Christian. Absolutely not. And the third one, people say, well, I believe in God. Well, goody two-shoe. The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 19, it says, thou believe there is one God? The devil also believes and trembles. And what God are you believing in? If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, that's some religion that's man-made. You know, Jesus Christ said in John chapter 3, verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must have that turning point, that testimony. You have to have that time in your life that you repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ in your heart to be your Lord and your Savior. That's the only way you can go to heaven. And once you're a true Christian, you have a new identity. You're a child of God. You're forgiven of your sins. And you have a new purpose in life to live Christ-like, to tell others, to be a light in this dark world. That's what we're supposed to be when we become a true Christian. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it says, we are now ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? When you're a true Christian, you represent Jesus Christ. And what a privilege that is. But you know what it is also? It's also an awesome responsibility when you say you're a Christian. There's a lot of people out there saying they're Christian and they're turning people away from Jesus Christ just the way they're living. Don't talk the talk if you don't walk the walk. Because you're going to turn more people away from Jesus Christ than you ever do draw them to Christ if you don't walk the walk. And it says that new Christians, we need to grow in the Word of God. And we need to be good students of the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You need to get into the Word of God to make you grow. And it's sad to say, but there's some Christians out there, I'd say they're stillborn. They come to Christ and they never grow. They don't get in the Word. They don't memorize a Word. And they're kind of like stillborn. And when you become a true Christian, you need to get into a good Bible-believing church. And that's why I go to this church, because it's a good Bible-believing church. They stick it to the Word of God. It's not fluff. It's the Word, the true Word of God. And there's other people say they're Christians. I'm a Christian, but I don't have to go to church. That's not what the Word of God said. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as believers. Bible says go to church, go grow. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it says we need to encourage one another. And if you're not in church, how can you encourage one another? We need that. We need that family, that bonding. When we're struggling, when we have sorrows, there's other people to pray for us, encourage us. And also, if you start leading astray, going the wrong way, a brother can come up to you and say, hey, brother, I see you're going the wrong way. Don't do that. And they help keep you on the straight and narrow. That's what we all need. We all need that. And we also need to use our gifts. The Lord gives us gifts and talents. He blesses us with these. Everybody has a unique gift and talent. We're not the same. And some people say, well, I can't preach. What am I going to do? I can't lead worship. What am I going to do? I'm not an evangelist. What can I do? Well, I made a list of just some things a person can do in the church. Here's a small list. I know I missed a lot of it. You could be an usher, a greeter, a security guy, a teacher. You work in the nursery, maintenance, junior church, janitor, lawn care, administration, finance, treasurer, secretary. You can be a deacon, an elder, work in the sound booth. You can be on a mission board, be a missionary. And some people say, well, I can't do any of that. I'm a shut-in. I'm getting old. I can't do that. Well, most of you have a telephone. You can call people and encourage one another. And you can't do much because your physical body can't do much. You can still be a prayer warrior. We need to encourage one another. There's things everybody can do. We can't just make excuses. And I know Matt Miller, he's a mechanic. He came over my house and rewired my motorhome taillights, got them working. Praise the Lord. And Matt and Angelo, there was a lady that her car was given up and needed a new water pump. They went over there and put a new water pump in her car. Praise the Lord. That's what we do as a body of Christ. And I know Pastor, he's busy, and there's a lot of people that are shut in and thing, and the Lord provided the pastor some new help for outreach ministry, for people with health issues and shut-ins. I know we have Angelo and Bill and other people. They go out on Thursday nights visiting some of these people, and they give them these encouragement baskets that are put together by Pam and Heather. It's awesome. It encourages people in the church. They don't slip between the cracks. And my wife, Nancy, she sends out a lot of cards to encourage people in the church. That's all part of the body of Christ. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27, it compares the body of Christ to this physical body. And I'm going to paraphrase it. It like this physical body, you have a nose, you have ears, you got eyes, you got feet, you got hands, you got all them different parts, and they're unique, and they're all needed. They're all part of the body. And same way with the body of Christ. We're all uniquely made, and we're all precious in His sight, and they're all important. Like, what part of your body would you want to cut off? A thumb? A hand? A foot? No, you want it all. Same way with the body of Christ. And I dreamed up this thing, and it might be kind of corny, but you have to bear with me. I'm going to compare the church, the body of Christ, with a baseball team, okay? Just bear with me. Well, the owner and the CEO of this baseball team is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the owner and the CEO. He owns it, okay? Well, there's a coach for that team. That's our pastor. He's the coach, and he's training the players. He's in charge of the team, and he helps them. And the players of this team are you guys, the congregation. And each player has a unique gifts and talents, just like on a baseball team. You got a first baseman, second baseman, third base, outfielders, and then you got the pitcher. The pitcher usually has to be a specific talent. You can't just drag the outfielder in and say you're going to be the preacher. Same way with the catcher. They got unique specific gifts, and that's the way it is in the church. There's some that's there. Zero in on a specific gift more than others. And then you got the catcher. The catcher is usually a tough guy because he's always getting ran over and somebody's trying to run through home plate and he catches all them fastballs, foul balls. I played catcher once and the batter hit the ball. He got so excited he tossed the bat and I wasn't wearing one of them helmets. He hit me right here with the end of the baseball bat. I'll tell you, I had a welt like crazy. But the catcher gets a lot of abuse. And there's people in this church that are tough as nails. They can handle some of that abuse. They're a little rough around the edges. But the Lord's still using them. They all have a gift and a talent. And here's one thing that everybody that's on that team has to do. What is it? They all have to bat. They got to get up and bat. Every player on that team has to bat. Well, as a Christian, everybody's part of this team. But there's one thing everybody, no matter what they do, whether it's the deacon, the sweeper, the janitor, ushers, whatever they're doing, they all need to witness. They all need to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We all need to get up and bat. And you know, when we witness, sometimes we strike out, right? You witness somebody and you strike out. And nobody wants to strike out. Sometimes you get discouraged getting striked out. But you don't give up. And sometimes you'll hit the ball and all you'll do is get to first base, okay? Well, you're planting seeds. You're witnessing to somebody. You're witnessing to somebody, and all they get is the first base. But you planted seed. You got to remember, you planted seed. Somebody else gets up to bat. They may bump that person to second base. They're witnessing to that same person. Next person may get them to third base. And doing that, the bases may get completely loaded with people who's been witnessed to. And then somebody comes up, and he hits a home run, and all the runners come in. All them people been witnessed to come to Jesus Christ. They got the home run hitter came in there. Praise the Lord. It's awesome. So we got to remember, whether we strike out or just get to first base with somebody, we're planting seeds. And you know, when somebody comes to Christ, a guy hits a home run, somebody comes to Christ, you know who's cheering up in the bleachers? It's the angels. Here's what the Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 10. I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So we gotta the angels rejoicing in heaven when somebody comes to Christ, when somebody hits a home run. What saddens my heart, that there's a lot of churches out there today that the coach, that the pastor is not training his team. And they go out and all they do is have entertainment and fluff in these churches. They aren't sticking to the Word of God. And what's sad, the players, the congregation in those churches don't even know how to play the game, let alone go out and bat. They aren't batting at all. They aren't in the field. They aren't batting. And there's a lot of them that's just staying in the dugouts for all their life, missing out on all the blessings of getting out on the field and batting for Christ. They don't know what it's like to hit a home run. So we need to be careful what church we're going to, one that preaches the Word of God. And do you know where the baseball field is? The baseball field is right outside these church doors. It's called the world. The world. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and bat. Witness. Be a light for Christ. Spread the good word of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, it says, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. The players are few. The batters are few. Now, the reason I called this message a turning point tonight, it's in honor of Charlie Kirk, a great man of God. He had love. He had a heart. He had a compassion for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he also had a love and a compassion for young people in the college campuses around the United States. He was one of my heroes of faith. He had death threats all the time, but it never stopped him. He kept preaching at the college campuses, kept debating at all the college campuses. And the Lord gave him wisdom like I'd never seen. He was only 31 years old. And the Lord gave him wisdom and a photographic memory, and he knew the Word of God inside and out. And he touched a lot of lives, a lot of college kids that were being indoctrinated by this woke stuff. He gave them the truth, and I'm sure bunches of them came to Lord Jesus Christ. He was always out there batting. And I'll tell you, he was assassinated September 10th, 2025, at the age of 31. He was a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have never, ever seen a greater impact from a 31-year-old person in the whole world than I've seen what Charlie Kirk did. Worldwide, not just locally, worldwide. I've seen people in India talking about Charlie Kirk, parades in the UK, all over the world, honoring Charlie Kirk. And I watched all 5 hours of his memorial service on television, which is unheard for me to watch 5 hours of something on television. And I was blessed. And I've never seen so many powerful people speaking about God at a funeral. Even President Trump and Vice President, they both spoke. And the richest man in the world showed up for his memorial service. Elon Musk showed up. Can you imagine the richest man in the world showing up for your funeral? Or the president or vice president and all these people in power showing up for a funeral? And there were over 20 million viewers of his funeral. And his memorial service was at the State Farm Stadium. It was packed out with 74,000 people. It was packed. And Charlie always wished he could fill that auditorium someday. Well, he did through his death. And inside and out, they estimated there was about 200,000 people that showed up for this memorial. It's just unbelievable. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, all things work together for good, that them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Charlie Kirk loved God, and he was called according to his purpose. And when he passed away, Turning Point USA has exploded since his assassination. Before his death, there was 900 chapters of Turning Point USA in colleges, and there was 1,200 chapters in high school. That's a total of 2,100 chapters in the whole United States before he passed away. Now, after his death, there are now over 120,000 students that have asked about starting a new chapter. It's exploded. And if you never watched Charlie Kirk, I highly recommend watching Charlie Kirk on YouTube. You'll be amazed at his ministry and how he affected people. And since October of 2020, Charlie Kirk hosted a daily talk radio program, 3 hours a day, The Charlie Kirk Show. Since his death, it set a new world record of views, surpassing the Super Bowls and the moon landing. Over 1 billion views. 1 billion, not million, 1 billion. And my great nephew out here, he told me how you can put that in perspective. 1 million seconds lasts 11 and a half days. 1 billion seconds lasts 31 and a half years. What a difference. 1 billion views. It's mind-boggling. And I think since his death, it started a new awakening, a new revival in the world. More people are becoming bold for the faith. And we know time is short. How many people are you going to reach for the Lord Jesus Christ before you die? How many are you going to reach for the Lord Jesus Christ before you die? The clock is ticking. 1 minute, 31-year-old Charlie Kirk is talking to a large crowd at a college, doing what he loved to do best. And the next minute, he was in heaven. We just don't realize when our time is up. Do you think Charlie shaved that morning, got dressed, kissed his wife goodbye and his kids, expecting that he'd never return? We just don't know how short life is, how fragile life truly is. And there's people we meet every day at the gas station, Costco's, Walmart, Martin's, doctor's offices, schools, the gym, soccer games, football games, all over. And these people need Jesus Christ. And what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Are you batting every day? Are you witnessing every day, trying to hit a home run? You know, there's that, when you're out batting, witnessing, there's always that chance of rejection. But there's always that chance that you're planting seeds. Remember that. Don't get discouraged. The devil wants to discourage us. And some people tell me, Gary, I don't know how to witness. I'm not a good talker. I'm shy. I don't know what to say. What can I do? Well, I've been witnessing ever since I got saved. I've been witnessing 46 years now. And I've tried the Bible tracts, the cassettes, the CDs. I've done it all. And I'm telling you right now, that podcast I have, and I'm not saying because it's mine, but this podcast is the best tool I have ever had to witness for Jesus Christ. It's the easiest thing. I'll see a kid at Walmart. He's playing on his phone, laying against the wall. I just go up to him, hey, check out my podcast. And these kids say, cool, I'm always looking for a new podcast. Or they'll say, you got a podcast? They're looking at this old man thinking, he'd have a podcast? Well, I got a podcast, okay? So I'll be at Walmart, all them places. I hand these out there. It's like a lot of these kids, it's almost giving them candy because they're looking for podcasts. So I'm telling you, if you're hunting for a way to witness without having to know much of anything, you can give them a card. And if you give them this card, it's more than just a podcast. It has the Gideon Bible app in 1,700 languages. It has 724 Christ-centered videos on this thing. It has the Bible tract that I always carry. It's right built in there. Knowing God personally track is built right in there. I've led people to Christ at rest stops and stuff just by pulling my phone out and pulling up this thing, knowing God personally. It's got 58 of my messages. If you like this message tonight, in about a week or so, it'll also be on this card. It's got, one night I was at the jail, and I always, when I give an altar call, I shut my microphone off because some guys come up and they share personal stuff, and I don't want to tape any of that stuff, so I shut my microphone off. But one night I forgot. And 26 men come forward to accept Christ that night. And I taped it. What I did, you can hear me explaining this Bible tract to all these guys. I gave them each one. And then you'll hear 26 men saying a sinner's prayer out loud as a group. It's right on this podcast, right after the plan of salvation. It's all on there. And there's testimonies, inmate testimonies, about a guy named Todd. It was a drug dealer, an alcoholic, all in, how he came to Christ. Another guy named Brian's testimony on there. He's incarcerated 53 times in six different states. And he has his testimony on there. So there's all kinds of stuff. And the Gideon Bible app is in 1,700 languages. It's got the Jesus movie in 2,000 languages. So by handing this card, you're handing them a whole ball of wax. And like I say, I'm not bragging this up because it's mine. It's a tool the Lord gave me. And it can be all yours. There's a bunch of them out there. And if you need them, take all you want. If we run out, I got bunches more. But it's a way all of you could start witnessing. And someday, I would like the Lord to say this in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. The Lord says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Is that what you want to hear someday? The Lord say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because someday we're all going to be in front of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine among men, so they see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Be doers of the word, not hearers only." Talks cheap. In 2 Timothy, here's what Apostle Paul says. It's in chapter 4, verse 3 through 8. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine in churches, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth, and people will believe fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and my time of departure is at hand." He knows he's going to be dying soon. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all." How many? "All them also that love his appearing." So we got to remember that. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "I heard of the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, Lord, send me." Is that you tonight? "Here am I, Lord, send me. Send me." I believe right now we have a window of time that's open to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can't tell you how long that time's going to be. Only the Lord knows. The Lord may be coming soon. I believe we're in the last days, all the signs I see out there. We don't need to be scared because we're on the winning side, but we need to be out there telling people that there is a hell. And everybody's going to have to, either you're in heaven or hell. There's no middle of the road. And I started this message called A Turning Point. If you never had a turning point in your life, why not? The clock is ticking on your life. You don't know if you're going to survive tonight. And maybe tonight here, the Lord has you here to have a turning point in your life tonight. If you would die today, do you know whether you'd be in heaven or would you be in hell? And if your answer to me tonight is, "Well, I really don't know, Gary, I really don't." Well, my answer to you is, if you don't know whether you're going to heaven or not, chances are you're on your way to hell. There's no middle of the road. And this is what the Bible says about it. 1 John 5:13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So, the Bible says you can know whether you have eternal life. If you're doubting that salvation, now's the time to get right with Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of people that think they're right, but they really didn't come to Christ. And Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out demons in thy name, and done many wonderful works for you, Lord? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work wickedness. Depart from me." Yeah, being good doesn't, like our pastor said this morning, being a good person doesn't get you to heaven. Being a forgiven person gets you to heaven when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, and you repent and you come to Him. Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John, this is Jesus again, in John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, listen to this. It's very important. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world may be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, is condemned already." Condemned already. Powerful words. Maybe the Lord's working on you tonight. Maybe the Holy Spirit is tugging on you, that you know you aren't right with Jesus and you need to get right with Jesus tonight. Here's what Jesus said in Revelation 3:20. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him." Where do you stand tonight with Jesus Christ? Where do you stand? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He will give you rest for your soul. Are you struggling? Money will buy you everything but happiness and pay your fare to anywhere but heaven. Jesus Christ paid it all on the cross for you. Even while he's on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." No greater love ever shown but what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Where do you stand tonight? Michael, I'm going to have Michael come up, and he's going to play a song. And as that song plays, if the Lord's tugging on your heart tonight, you need to come forward. I'll be right down here. If the Lord's tugging, I'll give you this little booklet, Knowing God Personally. And I can share with you in just a few minutes a prayer to come to Jesus Christ. And you can leave here tonight knowing for certain you're on your way to heaven. It's not what I'm saying. It's what the Word of God says. And maybe you've been playing church all these years, playing the game of church. And people think you're saved, but you really aren't. It's time to get rid of these games and do business with God. Because the only one we have to please is the Lord. The only one we yield to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. When you get before the Lord, you're not before a whole crowd of people. You're one-on-one on Him. He's going to either say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Or he's going to say, "Depart from me, you that work wickedness. I never knew you. Depart." Where do you stand? Michael. If the Lord's tugging, come on up. Thank you. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Thank you, kind Heavenly Father, that the angels are rejoicing right now because there's new members in heaven. Sins forgiven. And please, Lord, if there's anyone here that's still struggling, the spirit versus the flesh, please tug on their heart. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There's no in between. And we have till our dying breath to make that decision. The clock is ticking. Tug on their hearts if they need you. And those that love you, Lord, help us to be that light wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we say. Let it glorify you and draw other people to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.